I have been criminally charged for voicing my deeply held beliefs that are based on classical Christianity.
Finnish lawmaker Dr. Pavi Rossinen, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
If this kind of questioning of free speech is possible in a country like Finland, which has a long roots in Christian culture and values and good reputation regarding free speech internationally, the same could be possible anywhere.
You can watch and listen to Dr. Päivi Räsänen making the case for Christians in the public square from the 2022 Making the Case conference. For a $300 gift by Labor Day, you can access an on-demand video stream or podcast of the entire conference. Order today at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. It's an odd kind of new morality. Some have called it a new Puritanism. The left, the progressives, the woke are an intensely moralistic breed of people. Now, their moral compass is in many ways set 180 degrees out of whack, but they still believe in right and wrong. Just listen to people after the fall of Roe v. Wade. They believe something wrong has happened, something evil has happened. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about relativism, postmodernism, and progressivism, Mark Hemingway, senior writer for Real Clear Investigations and author of a recent column for World News Group titled Moral Madness Abounds. Mark, welcome back.
Glad to be back.
What does the reaction of Senator Elizabeth Warren to the fall of Roe v. Wade tell you about the moral compass of our country and our culture?
Well, nothing good. I mean, to be clear, I mean, what happened here was after, you know, the Dobbs decision came down recently, just a week or two ago, I mean, she came out and was very angry about what had happened. And, you know, bear in mind that the Dobbs decision did not make abortion illegal in the vast majority of the country. It simply returned the issue back to the states and allowed states to, restrict it in meaningful ways. In fact, it put legal abortion in America much more in line with, say, Europe. I mean, this wasn't some like crazy radical step. I mean, what was radical was the Roe v. Wade decision in the first place that basically, you know, let a bunch of judges declare a, you know, bunch of issues from the bench, complicated moral issues that judges just unilaterally decided 50 years ago. And we've been, you know, trying to get that back into the democratic process ever since. But anyway, Elizabeth Warren went on to say that her response was to attack crisis pregnancy centers. You know, she said they, quote, fool people into looking for pregnancy termination help. You know, it should tell you something right there that they don't even say abortion anymore. They say pregnancy termination because, you know, presumably someone did a poll and found that abortion is not viewed very, you know, favorably. And then she decried the fact that crisis pregnancy centers outnumber abortion clinics 3-1. So let's think about that. I mean, the big rap from the pro-abortion folks for the longest time has been that people who are pro-life often, but not always, but often fall on the conservative or right-leaning side of the political spectrum. And therefore, they don't support some broad social safety net for children in this country. And they don't support, you know, government program to help kids and all that. So, you know, in response to abortion, what a lot of churches and a lot of private volunteers did, people that were opposed to abortion, they went out and they started crisis pregnancy centers to help women who were in difficult situations but still wanted to have their children. And, you know, these are not trivial things. Crisis pregnancy centers served 1.85 million families and provided $266 million worth of goods, including diapers, baby formula, clothes, car seats, etc. in 2019. These people are out there doing lots of good work. And, you know, they responded to abortion by, you know, getting involved in their community and trying to help people provide an alternative. And Elizabeth Warren's response to this is these people are evil and they need to be shut down. It's understandable within this context to think that abortion should be, you know, legal and that people are going to argue that. I mean, I accept that that's been the case. But to be so adamant about abortion that, you know, you shut down anyone that's trying to provide any alternative to that, I mean, that is frankly evil. I mean, I don't even know what to say to that. But that's the place we've arrived at.
So what has changed from, I remember, I wasn't a little kid at the time. I was a full-grown man. I remember President Bill Clinton politically very deftly framing the abortion issue as safe, legal, and rare. What's changed since then?
This, I think, really is a good question that really hits on something. Safe, legal, and rare was the Democratic Party's formulation for a long time, starting in the 90s. That was how they framed the issue. And truthfully, and I, you know, it almost pains me to admit this, but I think that message is probably the political winner. The truth is, when you look at polling on abortion, the reality is that I think a majority of the country wants abortion to be legal with a number of restrictions put on it. Now, more restrictions than Roe v. Wade allowed. But the truth is that those of us that are resolutely pro-life, the country isn't entirely with us on that. And if the Democratic Party were back to arguing safe, legal, and rare, it would probably be a political winner for them. But they can't do that anymore. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, they were in thrall of a incredibly powerful, you know, ideological special interest that insists on abortion through the ninth month without any reservations or restrictions or anything like that. I mean, it's positively ghoulish. And I think that turns off a lot of moderate people that otherwise would like abortion to be legal in certain circumstances. But it's really something that they are have landed on this place where they're like so extreme. Abortion without any question for any reason through all 9 months of pregnancy. And oh, by the way, anyone who's trying to provide an alternative to a woman that doesn't want to have an abortion, well, those people should be shut down and put in their place. That's the reality of the mainstream Democratic position on abortion. And it's just absolutely crazy that we're at this place where that's how extreme that they're being about it, you know, and at the same time, they insist that pro-lifers are really extreme. But the truth is, you know, even though I think that the country isn't entirely ready to be pro-life in all the circumstances that I would like them to be, or I think that is the proper Christian position on it, that makes pro-lifers seem, you know, moderate in comparison. And I, you know, I hope that, you know, pro-lifers can understand how being that radical and that ghoulish on abortion is an opening to talk to people to persuade them to be more pro-life.
You mentioned, you know, political interests outside the elected officials. We're talking about Planned Parenthood that pumps tons and tons of money into races and to campaigns and their coffers. So that obviously plays a role, but I think that's a little too cynical to make it only about the political money. There is a philosophy. There is a way of thinking, a moral way of thinking behind this that goes beyond whatever check Planned Parenthood is writing to Elizabeth Warren. Where is it rooted?
That's a really good question. The answer, you know, I think, and I wrote about it, I think it's kind of the wholesale triumph of relativism and postmodernism in influential sectors on the left. Basically, when you don't have to have any sort of shared notion of objective truth, you pretend that you have this ability to define your own reality, which, you know, isn't the case. But when you're able to define your own reality, that means you don't have to do things. You know, when you have to define your own reality and there's no shared truth that we're all working toward, you don't have to pretend any longer that your opponents are relying and are acting in good faith and that, you know, you have to debate them about a shared set of facts. So you end up in these situations here where I think what Elizabeth Warren is doing is it's just really a kind of performative denial of the truth. You know, you go to a, you know, 5-year-old kid and you explain to them about dismembering a baby in the womb, you know, what an actual surgical abortion procedure looks like. And there's an intuitive moral horror there. I mean, you know, we all know that abortion is wrong on some level. You know, even and Democrats used to know that, which is why they framed it as safe, legal, and rare. They knew that there was something, you know, inherently bad about it, even if they felt that there was a need for it to be legal. But now you're in a position here where people don't ever want to have to be confronted by the fact that they're sinful, that they have bad impulses, that they want to solve problems by dismembering children in the womb. And they're able to do that by compartmentalizing things and pretending that there isn't an objective truth, pretending that everything is relative. And that bleeds into so many other areas of, you know, political debate and cultural debate. And that is causing us a tremendous amount of angst, and it's tearing our culture apart. I mean, it's the heart of this wokeness problem, all these other things where it seems like 15 minutes ago, we all had a shared understanding that people who were transgender gender, quote unquote, had some sort of, you know, mental issue or personal psychological problem that they needed to deal with. I mean, it was, you know, a blink of an eye, you know, in terms of historical terms, that we all innately had this shared understanding that that was the problem. And now, you know, even if, you know, we didn't always do a good job of being compassionate toward those people. And now it's like, you know, forced acceptance of trans, you know, ideology, or else you're a bigot. And there's, the pendulum swung so far so fast that I think people just don't understand what the hell's going on. And it's just complete madness.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about the lack of shared facts when we come back with Mark Hemingway. We're discussing relativism, postmodernism, progressivism, and we will discuss, quote, people with a capacity for pregnancy next.
In making its decisions, the government shouldn't do so with an eye toward helping one religious sect or another. It should be neutral, and it shouldn't muck about in the affairs of the religious realm.
Former Attorney General Bill Barr speaking at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Their brand of secularism is really about destroying and subsuming the religious sphere altogether. And that's what I say. The threat today is not that religious people are out to establish a theocracy in the United States. It is that militant secularists are trying to establish an atheocracy.
You can watch and listen to a recording of Bill Barr making the case against the progressive assault on the U.S. Constitution from this year's Making the Case conference. It's available in both video and audio formats for a tax-deductible contribution of $300. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Mark Hemingway is our guest. We're talking about relativism, postmodernism, and progressivism. Mark, you talked earlier about the loss of shared facts, and I don't think anything illustrated it more pointedly than the recent interchange between Berkeley Law Professor Kiara Bridges and Senator Josh Hawley. What happened there?
Yeah, it was just an absolutely crazy thing to witness. So first of all, you know, even before Josh Hawley, we have a situation here where Democrats actually had both hearings in the House and the Senate over, you know, abortion, basically. You know, they were trying to show voters that they cared about this post-Dobbs or something like that. And they called this Berkeley law professor, Kiara Bridges is her name, to testify before the Senate. First, she spoke to Senator John Cornyn of Texas. Cornyn asked her whether or not she thought a baby that is not yet born has value. And Bridges proceeded to kind of, you know, ramble on and dodge the question. And when Cornyn asked her why she wasn't answering, she said, quote, "I'm answering a more interesting question to me." You know, when I was just talking about like people not having, you know, shared facts or, you know, feeling like they needed to debate in good faith, I mean, like, this is just a classic example. Setting aside the absolute arrogance of that response, this woman's a law professor, all right? Imagine going into a courtroom, being on the witness stand, and, you know, retorting to the judge and the lawyers that are, you know, asking you questions. Well, sorry, I'm not going to answer your question. You know, I'm answering a question that's more interesting to me. That's just not how, you can't organize a society around that kind of, you know, arrogance and sort of like postmodern notion of whether or not we should have a shared understanding of stuff. But then moments later, she was asked some questions by Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, and she kept using this phrase, people with a capacity for pregnancy. people with the capacity for pregnancy, this and that. And Polly went on to ask her, he's like, you know, when you say people with the capacity for pregnancy, you know, we're talking about women, right? And Bridges went on to say that Holly's unwillingness to, you know, acknowledge that men can get pregnant, quote, opens trans people to violence by not recognizing them. Again, words apparently, you know, are violence here. You know, it's again, very postmodern notion here by, you know, not acknowledging their attempts to redefine reality by saying that men can get pregnant. By not acknowledging that, you are doing violence to people. And I just don't know how you can even have a society where, you know, important people like law professors at top law schools are running around saying things like this and refusing to deign to acknowledge that we should have some sort of, you know, shared moral compass here that we, you know, we all agree on. And it's really kind of, you know, harrowing to actually see this. You know, there's a lot of mocking and scorn, sure, you know, on the right or whatever, when people see things like this, well, you know, these people are crazy. But the reality is this is a kind of mimetic ideology. It's spreading. It's in influential institutions. And it's frightening. And we should be, you know, aware of this. And we should be, you know, attempting to root it out and deal with it.
With only a minute here, politically, it's a loser. It doesn't pass the sniff test with Joe Lunchbox. So why are they pursuing it so aggressively? 1 minute.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, a lot of it is just the fear of being called a bigot. And truthfully, it's spreading in a lot of institutions that just aren't democratically accountable. Even public universities like Berkeley are islands unto themselves. And a lot of other, you know, corporate institutions and things like that are embracing this woke ideology, just don't have to answer to people, really. And that's part of the problem. We need a society with more accountability.
Mark Hemingway is senior writer for Real Clear Investigations. He's author of a recent column for World News Group titled Moral Madness Abounds. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Mark, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
When we return in hour two of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday, July the 27th, Dr. Steve Shave of LAMP, a Lutheran Association of Missionaries and Pilots based in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, will join us to talk about Pope Francis's visit to Canada and his apology for abuse of Indigenous children in Canadian schools. Then Eric Johnson of Mormonism Research Ministry will join us to talk about the discovery of a possible and only photo of Joseph Smith.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.